I regret a great deal. I don't regret much of the dirty work I've done, but I think I do regret the Spartan 2 program. I regret it not only because it was built on something utterly wrong, but also, mainly, because the likes of Catherine Halsey can only do what they do if the likes of me let them, knowingly or otherwise. I should have kept a closer eye on her. I knew what she was like. I know what everybody's like. That's my job. I can remember far too much. So many things that I wish I could unsee and unhear. Life's perverse. Most people in their 90s worry about losing their memory, not about being tormented by its clarity and the small hours each sleepless night. But such is power. You get it. Then you do things with it. And then you have to live with it. I won't apologize for saving my world from terrorists and aliens. I don't owe God any explanations when the time comes. Halls is an atheist, so she can look forward to it all being over, really over, one day. But I'm agnostic, and the closer to death I get, the more I'd prefer God to exist. I have some questions for him. I'm great with questions. If he made us in his image, why didn't he make us nicer, kinder, gentler? Or did he make us like this just to see how vile an organism we could become? What kind of God would make us? Dorsey sticks his head around the door. "Are the ginger nuts okay, ma'am?" he asks. "Glorious," I say. "Infinity better have a supply of these." Admiral Margaret Alenda Parangoski, Commander-in-Chief, Office of Naval Intelligence, UNSC. Chapter 1.
Arbiter, I have lost him. The brutes are rebelling and Antom is in chaos.
Caden Ilmir, pilot and bodyguard to Professor Evan Phillips, guest of the Arbiter. Temple of the Abiding Truth, Antom, Sangelius, March 2553. Evan Phillips could manage only one thought. Sangeli breath stank. It was like waking up face to face with an old dog who'd sneaked onto the bed, and it wasn't just the terrifying mouthful of fangs. Avu Med Telkam, religious zealot and Oni-sponsored insurgent, was kneeling right over him, staring into his eyes. Phillips could hear a tuning fork singing deep inside his head, but the yells and roars around him were muffled, a world away. He struggled for breath in a fog of brick dust, smoke, and something that smelled horribly like ammonia. How could he smell all this if he couldn't breathe?
Oh, God! A bomb! I was walking into the temple and...
He was walking into the temple with Telkam, and Telkam had asked him a really awkward question about a Sangeli he wasn't supposed to know.
Jul Mdama. Oh, shit.
And then there'd been an explosion. But Phillips's biggest problem right then was getting his breath, followed by checking that he had all his limbs and wasn't bleeding to death light years from home on a planet where they wouldn't take kindly to Oni spies. Because that's what I am now, aren't I? He kept trying to suck in air. His lungs felt disconnected from his brain, beyond his control. Then they relented, and a huge, convulsive wheeze shook him. He started coughing so hard that he almost vomited.
"I thought you were dead," Telkam said.
He sounded irritated, as if he thought Phillips had been shamming.
"Can you speak? Are you injured?"
Phillips's eyes watered painfully.
"Am I bleeding?"
"Not much."
Telkam stood up and started roaring orders, although Phillips couldn't see who he was yelling at.
"Is anyone injured? Answer me. Did anyone see what happened?"
Voices called back from the gloom.
"A wall has collapsed, Fieldmaster. We're still trying to find all our brothers. Be quick about it."
Telkam drew his pistol and stalked toward the outer gates.
And secure the perimeter until we find out who did this.
Who would attack the temple? It was a sensitive target, sure to cause outrage. Perhaps the Arbiter had worked out where his opposition was coming from and had launched a preemptive strike. And I walked into the middle of it. Should have stuck with Caden, shouldn't I? I bet he's panicking now, trying to find me in case the Arbiter shoots him for losing me.
Phillips eased himself up and tried to stand. Razor-edged rubble cut into his palms. He could hear mayhem outside in the plaza, filtered by the thick walls around the temple grounds and the thud of Sangeli feet echoing in the passage behind him. Now that the smoke and dust were settling, he could work out exactly where he was. About 20 meters inside the temple compound, right in the ancient doorway of the Forerunner building. Nobody seemed to be taking any notice of him. He got to his feet, tested his balance. Not great, but at least he could still hear, and tottered toward the gates. At least this had killed the conversation about Jules. Phillips hoped Telkam would forget he'd even asked the question, but he doubted it.
Damn, I could have died. Really died. This is getting a bit too real.
His legs were shaking. Now that he stopped to think about it, he realized he could have been killed any number of times in the past few months, but it hadn't felt quite this immediate before. How did Mal and Vaz handle it? Now he understood something at a gut level, something he didn't have words for, and suddenly the world looked different. Then he remembered.
Oh God. Bibi. Where the hell is he?
The AI would usually have been chatting to him in that arch, slightly bitchy way that was somehow incredibly comforting. Bibi knew all and saw all. He probably spoke Sangeli even better than Phillips. But now he was uncharacteristically silent.
Bibi,
Phillips whispered. He peered down at the coin-sized radio with its pinprick camera lens, unable to see any indicator lights. Military comms equipment was designed to withstand all kinds of shocks, and Oni was certain to have the very best kit that money could buy.
Bibi,
are you okay?
You can come out now.
But the radio remained lifeless. Phillips took it off his jacket to examine it, and it was only when he held it right up to his eye that he saw the chunks of metal embedded in it like lead shot. It took him a few moments to think that through. The realization made his stomach